I'm so sorry that my timing's off, but I can't move on if we're still gonna talk. Is it wrong for me to not want half? I want all of you, all the strings attached. Oh, I'm good at keeping my distance. I know that you're the feeling I'm missing. You know that I hate to admit it, but everything means nothing if I can't have you.
Chapter 13. A long time coming. Introduction or reunion? First day of school jitters for the symbol of peace. I didn't recognize you. Shota almost said it aloud, but he had at least that much tact. On the one hand, it was fucking obvious. The singularly long man in front of him, hunching into a tent of a striped yellow suit jacket to hide his height or his emaciation, bore no resemblance to the brawny, grinning hero of Japan plastered on billboards and immortalized in top-heavy plastic figurines. But on the other hand, there was a certain secretary, wheelchair-bound and in distress 5 years ago, which was another conversation entirely. Caught between the two, Shota kept his mouth shut. The eyes, he thought, almost involuntarily. The eyes were the same. Shadowed, but a bright, burning blue. Unforgettable. As if seeing him staring, Yagi, All Might, brushed his drooping yellow bangs nervously out of his gaunt face, his other hand twisting and tugging at his blue tie. His hands were still huge, but wizened by the catastrophic weight loss, his fingers long and busy and reaching at anything for a distraction. Shota decided to speak before he picked himself apart in the silence. So you're here now. The first words of the day weren't the friendliest or the most enthusiastic he could have offered. It didn't help they were alone. All Might just gave a lopsided smile and spread his enormous hands. I am. His expression pulled into a grimace, and he ducked his head to cough into his fist. Broad shoulders shaking with every hacking noise. It sounded wet, as did the careful, miserable inhalation after. In whatever capacity is left to me, that is. All Might, Yagi, made no move to straighten after his fit, remaining hunched with the glow of his eyes shuttered by corn silk lashes and a guilty look at the floor. He seemed genuinely nervous to be there, or just to be in his own skin, and Shota didn't know how to take it. Why are you here at all? He wanted to ask, but he also wasn't an idiot. His phone was still pinging with news alerts from just that morning, when the symbol of peace had stopped a convenience store robbery with a stray kitten in one hand and orange juice in the other. But the sickly beanpole man in front of him looked more suited to lifting pencils, not cars. A return to his alma mater would make for a nice news story to segue him into retirement. They, or Nezu at least, had been after him for ages after all. Terrible timing. Hero studies, Shota said, looking down at the clipboard and the complicated hiring form in his hands without seeing a word of it. All Might nodded, reaching for a steaming cup of green tea that had been waiting for them when they arrived in the empty staff room. Nezu again, doubtlessly.
Yes, I have a few years of experience, if you look at my resume, All Might said with another weak smile, blowing on his cup.
I'm not interviewing you. You have the job.
The older hero stuttered and waved his hand with a vaguely apologetic sound, determinedly sipping his tea and looking anywhere but at him. Not the reaction Shota expected from a statement of fact. Maybe the joke he was going for was that All Might even had a resume. But, as established, Shota wasn't good with jokes, and the silence just sat between them, thickening.
Honored to have you here at UA, All Might. Thank you for adding your skills and experience to our staff. I'm certain the students will be completely unbearable and impossible to set to task once they are informed that you'll be instructing them in basic hero studies. You'll ruin the entire week with your mere presence and more. And I am told we should be grateful for it.
There were so many empty little honorifics to air, so many concerns to swallow. But Shota's mouth wouldn't move either way, and his capacity for bullshit had only lessened with age. Mostly, above all, his brain just couldn't make sense of the two of them as they were, sitting where they were, and why. The sheer friction between then and now left him speechless. God, he'd been such an asshole back then. Out of survival and anger and difficulty, yes, but the fact remained that he had cursed out the symbol of peace far too many times in the month in which their careers and their cocks crossed. To have the same dumpster-lurking brat sitting across from him in a teacher's lounge with a name tag and a class in charge of children must have been obscenely unsettling to the poor man. They had seen parts of each other, after all. And just like that, Shota's heart sped up. Annoyingly. Since All Might, Yagi-san, mild-mannered secretary of Might Tower, wasn't going to go there, Shota thought with sudden irritation. He put his clipboard down. The impact may well have rattled the big man's teacup for how he flinched and clutched at it. So, Shota said, when there wasn't a spill or a burn. It's been a while. He cursed at his own curtness, but it was done. All Might muffled a choking noise in his cup, and the tension bubble burst. Pretending they were strangers was one thing, but across a coffee table on the same staff, torture. Especially when just a glance tripped every wire and memory strung between them. Just that deep voice. He'd rather not think about it, honestly.
It certainly has, All Might offered hesitantly, after clearing his throat, still studying the floor.
When he smiled, it was thin and distinctly overwhelmed.
I'll admit, I nearly turned and fled to the heroics office to file for retirement when Nezu originally introduced us at the dinner.
Shota vaguely remembered seeing a man of his height at an earlier staff function, but never an introduction. Seeing him frown, Yagi hastily amended,
it wasn't actually an introduction. He simply pointed you out, and I...
Yagi trailed off, gesturing broadly, but it was obvious.
And I absolutely fucking panicked.
Shota could instantly imagine him, both forms, both hims, fleeing in terror, ducking around the snack table and through the double doors at the mere sight of him. He had to bite back a snort. Fucking ridiculous and entirely possible, and not entirely unmerited, considering the depth of their shared embarrassment.
And you signed on anyway, he murmured, almost curious.
Yagi nodded once, short and firm, committed, a positive sign.
Good.
It was very quiet again, and in that quiet, Shota officially made a decision. The obvious and logical choice was to feign coolness after all these years and leave the past in the past. It was another time, another place, and they were very clearly different people. Probably unbelievably different in his own case, and he didn't need any help feeling 23 and stupid and not enough in front of the nation's number one hero. Again. He didn't know how much All Might wanted to admit to, and they were headed for an immersive professional relationship that could be a ready-made disaster if Shota assumed too much in either direction. All Might was relentlessly kind, after all, as well as easily flustered. That didn't mean the man had any interest in Shota beyond his continued secrecy and this makeshift Teaching 101 orientation Principal Nezu was so kind to set up for only them. Alone, in the staff room, for however long it took. Shota probably had the fewest All Might-related questions out of the entire staff, so maybe this was the best of bad choices. It still left him wondering, uncomfortably, how much the principal really knew, much less how he knew it. Did he know about the bandages, the blood, and the IV drip, or the terrible silence of the top floor of the tower?
A teacher, then.
A quiet, warm voice, scattering his piling thoughts. Shota looked up and found All Might smiling at him. It wasn't an All Might smile, though. There was no grin, no teeth, just a soft, amused little expression that made Shota's empty stomach flop like it had been swiped with a bright pink sparkling taser.
"And you," Shota replied, quickly, coolly.
Totally cool and calm and picking up his clipboard once again for no fucking reason. Fuck.
"Yes, a funny thing. I'm afraid to say I might be quite troublesome in the coming months," Yagi confessed with the height of formality, placing his hands on his knees and inclining his frazzled head. "I will be grateful for any guidance you can offer me on the art of teaching and molding young spirits in heroism. I am at your disposal, Eraserhead. You're the, professional here."
The way the older hero held his tiny bow for a moment, Shota could see two things. All Might was pointedly deferring to him, and that the tips of his ears were pink through the tangle of his hair. As a man facing a legend, and mature enough now to honor it, Shota would be lying if he said he wasn't a little ruffled by the display, even if he didn't like the word art. Art fully failed to consider the amount of baleful staring and brute force threats involved in keeping 20 kids' attention for more than 3 seconds on a Friday afternoon, or the boredom and self-hatred that came with grading the assignments meant as punishment, or the temptation to skip out on grading entirely in favor of drinking with your friends, who should also be grading, but at least you're all fucking up together.
"You'll learn as we go, as we don't have time for anything else. But we have capable staff here to assist you through the particulars," Shota assured him with a nod, feeling like he was speaking from 20 feet outside his body, and to a stranger.
His eyes slid blindly over the text in front of him again, searching for something, anything to talk about.
"How are your Excel skills?"
"My what?"
Yagi blinked owlishly.
"Well, fuck," he thought. Sidestepping that initial blow, they went over a few basics, like where to find class schedules and how the days were structured. He explained what his own duties as homeroom instructor consisted of and what the other teachers on staff were responsible for.
Yagi's eyes started to glaze over as he finished detailing exam schedules, bouncing his knees, so Shota left that lie. There were shared drives he could download to look over in his spare time. And with every passing minute and furtive glance, it became very obvious that All Might had something else on his mind.
"That's enough for today, I think."
"I'm sorry."
Shota stilled. It didn't sound like the endless apologies expected of an excruciatingly polite man out of his depth in a new workplace, or even for a clear lapse in attention. If any part of Shota was uncertain as to what was coming before he looked up, the devastated expression on the older hero's face left no question.
"I wasn't aware of what it was like," All Might began, staring down at his laced fingers, mournful. "For heroes like you, back then, the way you suffered, I had no idea. I must have come across as very ignorant and arrogant."
"You apologized on national television, and you fixed it."
Whether he was ready for it or not, the first bit of feeling seeped into his voice and rattled it. He met All Might's surprised gaze and held it, willing the tense silence to encapsulate and honor the risk, the unthinkable scandal that his broad shoulders had carried, all to help his community. No, to even include underground heroes in his pristine and personal community when no one else wanted to.
"That's enough, I think," Shota said, again,
quietly clearing his throat of the dangerous warble. All Might, Yagi, opened his mouth as if to speak, but instead took another sedate sip of tea, clearly not expecting to be denied his peace. How long had he sat on it, agonizing? Had he been preparing to bow low to purge his own remaining guilt? Or had he just thought him the same defensive, furious, self-centered kid as before? How long had All Might thought of him?
"I wanted to apologize as well," Shota relented, closing his eyes with a slow, heavy exhalation.
He put his fingertips to his temple.
pressing.
Even before we met, I blamed you for things you had no control over. I was young.
It was difficult, trying to guard against the dirty, embarrassed feeling the word evoked.
Shota sighed. Young wasn't all. He hated hedging. Disenfranchised, struggling, pissed mostly, and ready to blame anyone for anything.
For good reason, All Might said solemnly, studying him across the table with those steady will-o-wisp eyes. You were right to be angry. Anyone would have been in your situation.
Shota frowned, a little irrationally pricked at his response for a second, before he realized that All Might was doing the exact same thing to him, denying him a decade-late pity party. The man was smart. Like he'd forgotten or something.
I still regret some of my behavior, given perspective, Shota said with an incline of his head.
Understatement. Don't we all?
Yagi asked with a sad chuckle, sitting back with a great rustle of yellow fabric and fiddling with his teacup before setting it down on the table. It was empty. Shota watched as All Might tipped it with a fingertip and hummed, thoughtful.
I suppose we're even, then.
Guess we are. Good place to start the semester from, Shota said.
He reached over, bringing the kettle close to refill his cup. With the press of a button on the battered plastic dispenser, the vaguely bitter, earthy fragrance of matcha wafted up, and All Might thanked him quickly under his breath.
Looking forward to teaming up with you, Eraserhead, he said after a minute of sitting and sipping.
The wryness in his tone earned a snort from Shota. The older hero glanced up from his tea with a terribly soft smile.
I'm glad you gave up smoking.
Thanks, I hate it, Shota said flatly.
I'm sure your students will be glad for your continued health,
Yagi reminded him, almost chiding.
Your students too, Shota reminded him right back, terse. All Might nodded, looking painfully overwhelmed. Shota's lips thinned. And you're going to have to stick around for them, which means showing up for every lecture and every test, which means taking appropriate care of yourself so you can rise to meet their standards. That's the meaning of your plus ultra around here now. Am I clear?
He hoped, at least, to communicate that the clueless look would not and could not continue to be an answer for anything regarding the students, but found himself fighting not to fidget in the following silence, as Yagi, All Might, number one hero, regarded him with a raised brow.
We're not even in class and you're already lecturing me, hmm?
He rumbled at last, clearly amused. All Might sat back and looked at him almost appraisingly, long fingers laced across his knee, and the warmth and depth of that consideration. It did things to him. Even on such a different face, his eyes were exactly the same. Shota found himself unable to look away.
You really did take to teaching.
It's a nasty habit, Shota assured him shortly,
heart wailing against his ribs.
You'll fall into it in no time.
I dearly hope so,
he said with a sigh, running a hand through his wild yellow hair.
I've never done anything like this before. Obviously. I'm lucky Nezu offered me this position, considering my staggering lack of qualifications.
It was true. As a hero, All Might had been teaching the world how it was done for years, decades. But keeping up with lesson plans and staff meetings was another battle entirely. Personally, there were still days when Shota looked at his life choices and ultimately preferred lying bloodied on an alleyway floor with an empty bank account. But just for an instant, usually around finals, and before Hizashi brought fresh coffee.
We all started there, Shota said, shifting on the doughy couch to dig his phone from his jumpsuit pocket. But practical experience is most important when teaching applied hero work. Everything else is just logistics. Now that we're working together, you can call me...
He didn't expect to catch sight of Yagi staring at him tensely, fingers gripping his knees.
If you need me.
he finished in a mumble, startled by the sudden slicing intensity of the older hero's gaze. His phone sat in his hand, an awkward and insufficient offering. If you need help, I mean, or text if that's easier. After a moment, All Might nodded and pulled his own phone from his jacket pocket, reaching across the table to offer it without a word. They exchanged numbers, and Shota took the opportunity to link the staff directory to All Might's phone, the one without the nasty nicknames he double-checked, and listed the go-to teachers for specific concerns he could have. Basic information, chain of command for certain concerns or requests, as he was getting acclimated. After, he stood, baffled, as Yagi took his phone back and stared down at it with thinly veiled disappointment, or just resignation. It left Shota wondering what he had possibly denied him, what was even in his power to deny him. But then there was his cursor, blinking in the empty spot above the new number. Everyone on Earth knew how to spell All Might from the billboards and newspapers and merchandise. And wouldn't it have to be All Might? Nothing else made sense, especially at a hero school. But how, exactly, was Yagi Toshinori spelled? A strange part of him didn't want to look at the paperwork. It felt like cheating. Would you... All Might began, and ended, glancing over the rise of his phone with his lip between his teeth. He cleared his throat. Would you call me Yagi, not All Might? Not anymore, his drawn face said, a sentiment echoed by the noisy rustle of his yellow suit as they both rose from the couches, clutching their phones. It will be Yagi-sensei with the students, Shota put in carefully. Maybe it was the proximity and the realization of just how unnervingly tall the other hero was, just as tall as All Might, while so awfully thin. But he was abruptly unable to move. Shota almost wanted to draw away, but whether out of respect or discomfort, he had no idea. It was impossible to imagine the depth of loss or the dire split in the emaciated man towering in front of him, who bowed humbly. Oh, I'm afraid not. As Shota watched, Yagi unfurled from his stooped posture for the first time, and ribbons of pearly steam rose up through his rumpled suit. In a surreal and lurching instant, that yellow suit pulled taut across a barreled chest and impossibly thick arms, and the very gravity in the room seemed to change. His face filled out, cavernous to chiseled, haunting to handsome. At full height once more, the juggernaut who held the nation on his shoulders, All Might coughed deep and crackling. His shoulders jolted, and he caught a stripe of blood on the back of his enormous fist. Certain appearances must be maintained, he said after clearing his throat, rich baritone of his voice, disguising the thickness of fluid, the whittling tension of pain. He inclined his crested head stiffly. You understand. Shota did, unfortunately.
What the fuck?
Yagi-san, then, Shota agreed hoarsely, belatedly struck dumb to have an actual civilian name for the hero in front of him, after so long hiding behind monikers, for reasons good and bad. It felt like a meager offering to broach the distance between them, but All Might, Yagi, immediately smiled, giving another short bow.
I appreciate it, Eraserhead. Thank you.
Shota mumbled something and nodded his way into an awkward mirroring bow. Hellishly disoriented and a little hot in the face from all of it. He'd known from the moment of Nezu's introduction that All Might and his secretary were one and the same, and the logistics and worry of it had consumed his thoughts through the entire assembly. But to see it happen right before his eyes stirred a kind of organ-shifting panic. What was next? How did they proceed? What the fuck were the rules here? Especially since Nezu had placed All Might in his care in some capacity, if this meeting was any indication of the micro-delegation the principal was so skilled at. Shota didn't really know what he had just offered All Might in his beginnings as a teacher, but he knew he meant it. He'd help. He also knew he might be missing a dozen other things in this exchange, but complete focus was impossible. There were too many new and troubling realizations jostling for attention in his mind, devoid of context. It was going to take more than an afternoon and a beer to integrate what he'd learned today. That was for sure. Japan's symbol was still there, but at what cost? The blood-stained handkerchief Yagi briskly tucked away didn't bode well. At all. Shota didn't need any help remembering black blood frosting over his hands that winter night, when one of them definitely should have died. How did somebody, even All Might, come back from that kind of evisceration? Duties complete, and his mind raised, Shota bowed, gathered his bag and his phone, and turned to leave. He intended to send Nezu in after him as requested, and had almost reached the sliding door when Yagi spoke again. Deep. Soft. Sorry. Always so goddamn sorry.
I apologize, Eraserhead. I'll let you go. Back to your duties.
All Might paused and cleared his throat.
But I wanted to say, I kept my promise.
Considering those words, Shota glanced at the high window to the hallway before letting his hand fall from the door handle. They were alone. Alone enough, anyway. And closed rooms were likely to be a bit more difficult to come by at UA from then on. Celebrity presence and all.
Yeah, he said into the rise of his capture weapon, turning. No one ever knew.
I thought it was impossible, but you did it. How am I still surprised? Whether or not it would be fucking impossible in the here and now to claim his past as All Might's tortured Dust Bunny lover, Shota had his own words he'd been sitting on. Mostly all the thanks he should have given instead of one desperate silent embrace in an alleyway years back. So many things had gotten foggy in the time since then, but the feeling of being held and saved was still sharp in his memory, rich and slicing as the mixed scents of All Might's plasticky suit and the warm skin and the pounding push of tears in his own dry eyes. The way he was finally able to breathe and trust. With a few beers on board, Shota would eventually thank him in so many words. But something about the cagey way the older hero was bracing himself on the side of the couch that day kept him quiet and waiting. All Might took a deep, scraping breath, twiddling his thumbs. In the staff room, the fitted suit, the silly motion didn't look so apish anymore. He was just a sensitive man, prone to nerves, who didn't know what to do with his big, troubled body half the time when he wasn't smashing things. How many people had to have part of themselves erased to hold another human being and to actually genuinely fuck?
I know you saw me as overbearing and nosy besides, All Might said heavily, interrupting Shota's inappropriate thoughts. You can't imagine how touched I was that you kept the tower card, much less used it. It speaks to the strength of your heart, and I'm sorry that I couldn't, that I wouldn't.
As he trailed off, the creak in his voice was the creak of the IV bag, dribbling and dangling. Shota felt the weight of it, about to fall, and leapt to intervene.
It was my fault, Shota blurted out, unable to watch the shame build in the older hero's handsome face, deepening the pained shadows of his eyes as the words wouldn't come. And what words were there for that kind of evisceration and exposure?
What had All Might felt in that chair that day? Hiding, unable and unwilling to lift his head or claim his title. If there was a way to go back and break his own legs in a freak accident so he never so much as entered that building to never know what was inside, Shota would have done it.
I was rude,
Shota insisted, voice catching again with how much he wanted to take it all back.
I should have called ahead or spoken with someone, anyone. It was your space and I had no right to be there. I apologize.
He had no idea and no right to any of it. But that wasn't enough to spare the man the humiliation he'd already suffered. He'd seen Yagi at the lowest of the low, to the point where pretending to be someone else was his best and only option. In the end, Shota was relieved to see All Might close his luminous eyes and nod, accepting it. The backs of his hands were still prickled and pinched in places, more visible now with his regained bulk. IV leads. Shota's stomach clenched and prickled at the sight, and the implications.
Well, after that last encounter, I swore I wouldn't seek you out again because just being seen with me would be the end of many things for you. I knew that.
All Might continued quietly, noble face set in a frown.
Not only were you young, but I saw a different kind of heroism budding in your circle. One we couldn't afford to lose to precedent. A world that worships quirks like mine. It can't continue, if we are to take care of each other. To me, what mattered most was that you should be able to make your own way, free from my shadow. So I took pains to put myself as far away from you as possible.
Expression grim, All Might's head seemed to dip with the very effort of saying such a thing. He smacked his fist into his open palm.
Even if we kept running into each other at the worst of times, I tried. After all this time, I suppose I wanted you to know and understand how seriously I take this opportunity to guide a new generation of heroes at UA. A new, different generation. And so I will defer to you and your circle in all things.
And with that, the air of the staff room squeezed and fogged again, and Yagi stood motionless in All Might's expensive shoes, a kind of surrender all on its own. An apology or a plea for understanding.
Please don't hesitate to lead me,
he rasped, shrugging the wilted suit back onto his shoulder, where it had fallen. His creased brow shone from the exertion as the air cleared.
I submit myself as your student. Thank you for understanding.
It would have been effortless for others. That's what Shota couldn't get past. With the final deception in motion, his own invisibility was practically a done deal. A lowly underground hero like him didn't even have to try to sink into the background. It was already guaranteed. The two of them occupied such vastly different ranks in hero society. It was a weird miracle they brushed in the first place, but All Might had put effort into maintaining that separation. He tried to distance them, and that effort, conscientious, difficult, and the difficulty in saying so, was what gave Shota pause. All Might had thought about him that long after, worried about him. The idea caused a dangerous warmth to build and spread from his center, familiar, but not as pink as he was used to. His heart sped up again, riotously thudding and gulping blood as if for some unknown sprint or feat Shota didn't know was coming. And, as usual, that feat was stupidity.
Well, I was going to say that we can be seen together without issue now.
He said it almost pensively, though he could hardly feel his lips for the turmoil under his chin. He looked up, keeping his face blank.
But it sounds like you don't want to be.
No, no, that's not.
Yagi balked, throwing his hands up and abruptly paling.
I want to see you. I want to be seen with you, of course. But only if you're okay with.
Practically windmilling in place, Yagi sputtered to a stop and smacked his forehead, teeth grit in the farthest thing from a grin. He remained hunched and vibrating with emotion until Shota heard a raspy intake of breath. He sighed it.
My stars.
The simple, silly phrase was like a cold hand to his belly. When Yagi dared glance up past his floppy corn silk bangs, Shota recognized the mournful, wanting expression from 7 years ago. The cautious shine of All Might's darkened eyes, his uncertain heart flattened itself against his ribs, realizing, feeling, for the first time that this was the same man, with the same huge hands and the same careful kiss. He glanced up at Yagi's mouth without meaning to. Defenses turned to dust.
I want to be seen with you, All Might said,
almost a whisper.
Given everything we've endured, is that too forward of me?
Forward? The clear tone of a confession bolted Shota to the floor, above and beyond the request. Did Yagi want to be friendly? More than friendly? What the fuck was happening? Shota's thoughts and expectations were so incredibly mangled, backing up on the freeway of his thoughts, that he just stood and considered the older hero for what seemed like an eternity, lips thin. In the end, he fell back on simple facts, as he always did when hellishly disoriented.
It's not forward as much as it is impossible to avoid at this point. We're in the same school now, Shota said, looking down and pretending to busy himself with his folders to avoid that piercing blue-black gaze and the haunting gentleness it could hold. Not for him, personally. Surely.
Co-teachers, we're gonna brush elbows once or twice, whether we want to or not.
So, do you want to? He wanted to ask.
But he shut his mouth before he could betray his time-tested habit of assuming the worst in any given situation. After a moment, Yagi smiled. It was All Might's smile, big and bright and flat.
All right, then.
He sounded relieved and disappointed and done. And Shota felt stupid. Very stupid. Thoroughly exhausted, Shota watched him gather his things and listened for the light hacking cough that seemed to punctuate every time Yagi bent. He couldn't stop looking for blood. Yagi wasn't well. How sick was he? Or was it all from that one fight? What kind of damage would take this many years, and surgeries, if the wheelchair was any indication, to recover from? And what was that obnoxious laughter in the night? The monster who could make peace bleed. Logistics turning his mind like a water wheel, Shota was already planning when he could visit Recovery Girl and exchange intel, lay some ground rules for the new hire before the semester began in earnest. He didn't notice All Might passing him by and opening the door for him. Shota grunted and nodded, dutifully accepting the courtesy and passing through. In mirroring courtesy, he lingered. They walked the hallways together, footsteps echoing in a place usually packed with jabbering, shouting, laughing teens in uniform. Soon enough. Sure, it was a headache in more than one way, but the emptiness was stranger by far. More and more, with each passing year, UA became a home to him, a second chance.
"Do you like it here, Eraser?"
Yagi asked, as if reading his mind.
"Working here, as a teacher."
Shota hummed, gazing at the golden blocks of sunlight painting the wooden floor and highlighting their path to the auditorium where the rest of the staff waited. Despite his own warm feelings, the simple question made him consider. Did he really like where he was? More importantly, did he like who he was? The ringleader of 20 hero-crazy children and the only adult on staff reasonably versed in Excel, not to mention nagger-in-chief of his two best friends. He had started out as a full-time excuse for a hero with aims of overthrowing a system he hardly understood, and here he was at 30, groping for instant coffee and shaking cat hair out of his notes. It was hard to believe.
"Yeah, it's okay," he said,
and felt a cockeyed smile spread over his face as he watched the classroom numbers go by. Warm. Easy.
Dunno. Might even be the dream.
It might even be the way to overthrow the system, by changing the hearts and minds of the young people going into it, teaching them to accept nothing less than teamwork and support and zero fatalities. He might even be a genius when it came down to it. Or he might still be drunk from last night. A warm hand touched his shoulder, gentle but huge, and enough to halt his step. Shota looked up and into All Might's smiling face, close enough to trace the hollow of his cheeks with a finger.
"Then it was worth it, I'd say,"
All Might said simply, sure as sunrise. Holding him there an instant longer, Yagi squeezed his shoulder with a respectful nod, and then he was gone,
leaving Shota standing in the hallway with his heart trying to bash its way out of his throat and give chase. Oh, he thought, hot and sparking and dizzy all at once. He inhaled automatically, alarmed, but nothing clogged his throat. The air was clear and clean except for the distant sharpness of commercial disinfectant and a light and mildly spicy cologne. Empty as the hallway. Shota breathed in again, and the world didn't stop spinning. Oh, fuck. He's waiting for you, a clipboard in hand. I don't know how or when, but he has need of you. So you have to make it through this, sir. Teaching was a challenge Toshinori could never have anticipated. He struggled, yes, but he also succeeded. And having his protege in his class seemed to help everything click into place and give him the motivation to charge forward, plus ultra and all. The boy was so bright, and Toshinori would do anything to push him that much farther. Working with him, watching him grow, he felt pride for the first time in a long time. And Eraserhead was himself, yet not. He was older, to be sure, and dangerously patient. His old anger had whittled itself down to a strictness that exhausted his charges, but didn't seem to dim their shine. In fact, it encouraged them to excel and push beyond to gain his approval. In the same way, Shota also maintained the ability to turn his own knees to jelly with a look, completely independent of his quirk. More dangerous than this was the rare praise as Toshinori began to catch on. A flat sentence, not even approaching congratulatory, would send him down a rabbit hole of Excel tutorials at night, determined to do his part and take a little something more off his busy co-worker's plate, and maybe earn another compliment in the process. They worked together every day, saw each other every day. His charm wasn't any better received than before, but it was fun to tease the younger hero, and older, calmer, Eraser proved surprisingly amenable to teasing. Small gestures and short calls turned to smiles gaining in warmth, rewarding Toshinori's piecemeal bravery in ways sweeter than he was prepared for. In some ways, he was too busy learning right alongside his students to expect anything particular to grow from it. Giving without receiving was an old habit, after all. He was used to pouring himself into things he would never see personal return from. He felt like enough to be allowed his fun, no matter how bittersweet. It was only when the class was gearing up for a field trip, months down the road, Toshinori running behind with the last of the camping gear, and Eraserhead herding the children onto the bus, that he remembered what Night Eye had seen 5 years ago. He puffed theatrically as he approached, rearranging the bundled kettle stands over his shoulder with a riotous clank, and flashing Eraser an apologetic yet charming grin. Roll clipboard in hand, the homeroom teacher turned and regarded him dryly over the crest of his coiled capture weapon. "Why is it?" Eraser began just loudly enough for him to hear, in that charming, grating monotone. "That for the fastest man on Earth, I'm always waiting for you." Toshinori's confident stride stuttered and stopped entirely, sneakers squeaking in the wet grass. For the first second, he didn't understand why. Then the question echoed in him from another time, in the sedate voice of a man, a partner he hadn't seen in years. Another casualty of his decisions. "He's waiting for you, a clipboard in hand. He has need of you. You need to make it through this." Then Toshinori started laughing. He laughed and laughed so hard he shook, and tears streaked his cheeks, and he nearly dropped the kettle stands. He also nearly lost his muscular form in front of the students, who were peeking out of the windows and watching the display. And, he suspected, nearly scared Eraserhead to death. When he came to, weak on his feet with giddiness, lifting his head off his shoulders, he saw the younger hero staring at him with wide, dry eyes, motionless as if he were a bomb set to explode. Not entirely off the mark, if deflation were concerned. Hell. "I'm sorry, Eraserhead.
Toshinori wheezed, broad shoulders still shaking with the reverberations of the words and the sudden, wonderfully insane sense of it all. Sir Nighteye had yet to be wrong, after all. Maybe there were good things about that. I just remembered something extraordinarily funny and couldn't help myself. It was the answer he was expecting. Sardonic Eraserhead, mind always on the goal. So Toshinori got on with his job. Kneeling, he loaded the last of the camping supplies into the cache of the bus and secured it with a piece of rope, sporting an absent smile all the while. He closed the hatch with a pat and a sigh. Then he felt a flick at his arm. Hey. He looked up. The flicker in question. Eraser was looking down at him with the oddest of expressions. His clipboard was flat to his chest, and a slight flush dusted his cheeks. Probably the heat of the day. As he watched, Eraser pulled at a loose piece of his hair. It was longer than before. Eraser had let it grow a bit wild, and in a rare but potent moment of weakness, Toshinori let his mind run away with him. He wanted so badly to reach up and tuck it away behind his ear, to run his fingers through the soft, snarled mess and grab and kiss, that he almost missed what Eraser had said over the rumble of the readied bus beside them. No, wait, he missed it. Shit! He squinted, shading his eyes with a hand. Hmm? What was that, my friend? I said, call me Aizawa, would you? Aizawa? Toshinori repeated hastily under his breath, like it would be taken away if he didn't claim it quickly enough. The surname he'd written and seen in texts for months, and sought in a drug-fueled haze years before, didn't feel real on his tongue. Eraser nodded. In front of the students, he said, matter of fact. Then he glanced aside and hesitated. Hesitation wasn't something Eraser did, and Toshinori couldn't help but tense where he knelt on the wet grass. Otherwise, Shota is fine. Stars bursting in his ears, the first thing Toshinori did was wait. There had to be some oh-so-logical justification coming next, to defang the intimacy of the request by couching it in terms of workplace customs when all peers on staff called him by his hero name anyway. It would have been so easy, and Toshinori would have accepted it. But he never did. Eraser Shota just waited, staring down at him and turning pinker by the second. Toshinori felt himself melt, a broad grin stealing over his face as his bruised heart settled for the last time, sun-warmed and full. I would love to, he said as he rose. He leaned on the bus for support, terrifically off balance, and snatched his hand away when the whole chassis lurched minutely to the side, wheels wheezing. He rubbed the back of his neck. Shit! Thank you! Eraser checked the windows of the bus. The students, hardy and very distractible in pre-departure glee, hadn't noticed the shift, and gave a nod. Not one for belaboring a point, he held out the clipboard. Just hold the fort down while we're gone. He arched a brow, a dastardly blow to any unguarded knees. Damn, but the man had his number. Think you can handle a little relaxation? I'll try my best, Toshinori said, with a shy and sorry chuckle. Dutifully reaching for the clipboard, glancing up at the bus windows and the soundless antics of the students inside, he almost stuttered when he said it. If it's for you, I'll certainly try, Shota-kun. It was like a charge arced through the summer air between them, hot and sweet and soundless. He could swear he saw the capture weapon flutter at the ends, and Eraser felt it too, if the way his dark eyes widened was any indication. Butterflies and bliss swarmed Toshinori's sutured belly as their naked fingers brushed beneath the clipboard, and Eraser, Shota, reached the top of the stairs and glanced back at him for no reason at all. For me, then, was all he said, soft, and the door closed. There was no time to swoon or celebrate. In less than 24 hours, they would lose a child, and 5 more would follow in misplaced heroism. In 48 hours, the world would lose All Might for good.
But in that moment, watching the rented bus pull away as the summer sun shone down, and his heart beat and beat and beat as if it had something to say, Toshinori could imagine a life after the symbol of peace. Something to hold on to. Something to pull through for. A life for Yagi Toshinori, and a smile all his own.